Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome one and all to the NFL Pregame Show and Championship Day edition, I should say. With alongside Dylan Golden, Joshua Lurie, and Eric Watkins, I'm Stephen Herr. Guys, today's a big day. AFC Championship game, NFC Championship game. Today we find out who goes to Super Bowl 50. So today, on today's show, we start with Denver and New England. First question for you guys. Brady has won twice in New England. His overall record? 2-6. What is the issue of Brady playing in Denver?
Well, there's always this type of thing with Denver. It's all Denver sports teams. It's always that altitude factor it seems to get to a lot of players. That's definitely one thing. You know, Denver, you know, that's the big part when teams go to play at Denver is the altitude. It seems to bother a lot of players. So that's definitely something that you can point at right away is the altitude factor.
To me, it's a combination of the altitude, and especially lately, Denver tends to exploit that on offense. When teams are playing defense up there, they get longer drives or having to cover longer routes. So when you don't have the time to acclimate quickly, as you only have a couple of days, that extra little bit of exertion on every single play, that tends to add up, and you see a lot of games open up in the second half because of that. So altitude and really scheming towards the altitude, and even with someone who has the stats and accolades as Tom Brady, he's vulnerable to it.
Honestly, I think that the altitude plays a part in it, but some of it might be a mental thing going back to college. For Tom Brady, I mean, we've got to remember that Tom Brady wasn't a full-time starter when he was at Michigan, and he actually backed up Brian Griese, who started in Mile High for a number of years after John Elway retired. So it could just be he gets in his head a little too much. I know we don't think that, like, professional athletes have that as an option, but they're human like the rest of us. So it's something that could be in play.
Like I said, 2-6 in Denver. The two quarterbacks that he beat in Denver, Tim Tebow and a guy named Danny Cannell. So last week, the Broncos played the Steelers for the second time this season. First time the Steelers met the Broncos, they beat them, but Brock Osweiler is playing. The Broncos beat the Patriots week 12, and Brock Osweiler played that game. Like last week, Peyton Manning is starting. So what, if anything, is going to be different in this game compared to the week 12 meeting?
Well, that was Eric, I believe.
It's all good. I was just going to say, if anything, you're not preparing for Brock Osweiler's arm. You're preparing for Peyton Manning's arm. And as you got to the beginning of the season, there was a lot more emphasis on the run game, a lot more emphasis on shorter and intermediate routes because Peyton Manning doesn't have that same strength that he was used to. So now you're going to, instead of having to prepare for a constant deep threat, you're going to have to game play for longer sustained drives, keeping Manning in the pocket, making him a little bit more uneasy rather than someone who can just step up, take a hit, and throw the ball downfield.
Eric, you took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, last week was very frustrating for me because the Broncos offense couldn't move the ball, and we just let that game get away from us. I mean, we being the Steelers. But, like you said, he can't throw downfield. And it also wasn't like his receivers were helping him out. They dropped a lot of catchable balls, and some of that was just these were passes coming in a little awkward, and they weren't used to dealing with that.
you know, exactly what Eric said. It's pretty much the same game. It's in the same stadium. It's the only thing different. It will be a day game instead of a night game, and the only other difference is the quarterback starting for Denver. It won't be Osweiler. It'll be Peyton Manning. You know, Peyton Manning, we all know, has deteriorated as the years have gone by. We're going to see much more of the run game. We're going to see screen passes. We're going to see shorter passes, medium passes at most. But you're not going to see the deep threat that Brock Osweiler brought. So the Patriots will have to game plan for more of a running game and to be prepared for Manning to throw shorter passes, screen passes, and intermediate routes at most.
Going back to last week, Julian Edelman played for the first time in 7 games after breaking his foot against the Giants. He caught 10 passes last game. Does he need to have that same performance this week to help the Pats win?
Honestly, if they can just get a decent performance from all of their receivers, him, Amendola, and especially Gronkowski, I feel like the Patriots have an easy path to victory. Not so much because of Denver's defense, who is going to bring it, but the fact that I don't think that the Broncos can score more than 24 points. I mean, their offense had amazing field position against a Steelers defense, which is very flawed in the secondary, and they were only able to score one touchdown, even though they started at least 4 or 5 drives at the 40-yard line or better.
Yeah, I don't think we need to see as big of a performance out of Julian Edelman. Obviously, he made a huge impact last week in his first game back. They just need him to make some sort of an impact. They need him. They need Brandon LaFell. They need Danny Amendola, Rob Gronkowski, Scott Chandler, and some type of a running game. I'm not asking for a 100-yard performance. They just need to develop some sort of a running game. They're not going to need as big of a performance out of Julian Edelman. If they can get the rest of the receivers in some type of a running game, and this is including Edelman, then they should be fine on offense as long as they have Tom Brady back there under center. Because we all know Tom Brady is known for making nobodies into serious weapons. So if they can get Edelman and others involved, then they should be fine. I do not think that Edelman needs to be as big of a performer as he was last week. I think if they can spread the ball around and run the ball a little bit, then they'll be just fine.
Well, I'm going to kind of piggyback off of Dylan's point. Tom Brady can turn somewhat of no-name or under-respected unknown receivers into superstars. And one way he does that through is chemistry. Having Julian Edelman back, that chemistry was instantly there. So you're not going to have to rely on it that heavily. Instead of needing 10 catches like last week, I would expect Edelman to get 5-6 at the most, to kind of open up that traditional New England offense that we've seen, thus freeing up LaFell, freeing up Amendola, and freeing up Gronkowski down the middle and as your outside threats. Edelman is more plays from the backfield, trick plays. Now that you have that element returned, it's going to be much less of a factor rather than getting it back after Edelman was out for so long.
Eric, you made a great point. Tom Brady makes any receiver a superstar. I agree 100% with that. Josh, you're a Steelers fan, and I know you're definitely upset about the loss in Denver last week. So am I. I picked Pittsburgh to win because I feel like they were like the dark horse in the NFL in the playoffs. Now, if Broncos had won, go ahead.
If Perfect hadn't taken the cheap shot, I am confident that we would be playing this game in New England right now. But that's football.
Yes, that's why you play the game. Now, let's say that the Steelers did beat the Broncos. I feel like Pittsburgh would have beaten New England. What do you guys think would have happened if we had a Patriots-Steelers AFC Championship game?
Well, you know, I would assume after a week that Antonio Brown would be good to go. I'm not sure if D'Angelo Williams, if he would have been able to go. But if not, they really only need Brown. And I would agree. I would pick the Steelers because they are my dark horse pick to the Super Bowl, and I think they would pull off the upset. I think, you know, they would have their offense back. They really did not have too many weapons last week. They would get Brown back. I'm not sure if they would have gotten Williams back. If they did, then even better. But if not, they could live without him. I do think they would beat the Patriots. It would be an upset pick. And I was riding the Steelers all along until Brown and Williams all went down.
I said at the beginning of the playoffs, watch out for those six seeds. Pittsburgh, arguably the toughest road to a championship back in 05 when they went to Super Bowl 40. This was a team that could have done it again just this year. And even hearkening back to the first game of the season, NFL kickoff, Pittsburgh really had that game in hand against New England. One missed opportunity late. You're talking about Pittsburgh pulling off an early season upset. I think they would have been able to key off of that than anything else, make the minor tweaks if they didn't have D'Angelo Williams back, especially if they still had Antonio Brown. You're looking at Pittsburgh going to yet another Super Bowl if that was the case.
You guys are killing me right now with all the hypotheticals.
Love playing right. The what if. What can I say?
Yeah.
If only, right? If only. So, key factors for this game, Denver, New England.
For Denver, Peyton Manning do enough to beat this high-powered New England offense? Does Denver have enough with a running game and an older, deteriorating quarterback to get things done? I'm interested to see how that happens. And then for the Patriots, is without no running game, do they have enough? I know that's Tom Brady. I'm not, you know, taking anything away from him, but they're playing one of the top defenses in the league without a running game pretty much. Do they have enough of an offense to score enough points to beat a Denver offense that's been struggling? I'm interested to see those today.
To me, I'll focus on Peyton Manning, but in something that's gained a little bit of intrigue over the past week, can Peyton Manning do enough for himself to keep Brock Osweiler on the bench? If he has a rough first half, he's not communicating with receivers, or, yes, if the receivers drop balls like they did last week, that's another story, but if he doesn't have the timing, doesn't have the strength, if he's taking too many hits, throwing two interceptions or so, does Gary Kubiak look to bring an Osweiler off the bench to provide that spark and that same kind of role reversal from what happened just a few weeks ago? So that...
Not a chance. I really don't think that Kubiak has the pull within the organization to make a call like that, especially when you're talking about one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, and he's also possibly playing what could be the last game of his career, because I don't think any of us realistically think that he can put Peyton Manning can put himself through another 16-game season and then a playoff run on top of that. His arm isn't what it used to be. He can't move around like he used to, and you put him back as your quarterback towards the end of the season. You've just got to ride it out with him.
So we're going to start with Dylan here. Who is your AFC champion and why?
My AFC champion is the New England Patriots. I just don't trust Peyton Manning to move the ball down the field in order to score enough points. This Patriots offense is high-powered. We know that. They don't have a running game, pretty much. But Tom Brady will do enough. He'll beat the Broncos in Denver. And then all the news headlines the next day will be talking about Peyton Manning in a possible retirement. I'm picking the Patriots in a close one. I'll take 27-20 Patriots.
Personally, and I was even saying this going into the regular season meeting, this will, at least in my mind, undoubtedly be the last time Brady and Manning face each other on the field. My champion, I picked against them last week. I got burned for it. I'm going to pick them today, the New England Patriots. I think Brady has a little bit more, not necessarily to prove, but to go after with his legacy. We're going to be talking about another shot at defending a Super Bowl title. Brady's seventh appearance in the big game, which would be a record. So that way, he can possibly get one last ring before he rides off into the sunset as well. New England takes this one 24-19. I think they're going to have just enough. And don't be surprised if we see another miracle Brady comeback in the last couple minutes.
I'm picking the Patriots to win comfortably. They've got Gronkowski, who really wasn't used during that game. I don't even know if he played during that first matchup that they had. But he's a game-changer on offense. And we've been seeing Peyton Manning on his last legs all season. At this point, he's just playing quarterback mentally because he doesn't have the arm to play at an NFL level anymore. And it's finally going to catch up to him.
Our other co-host, Stephanie Diaz, who cannot be on with us this today, she's also picking New England. So you guys are killing me, man. I'm the only one here. I'm picking Denver in this one because, again, this kills me. Brady's 2-6. There's something up with Brady playing in Denver. And not only that, I'm watching the NFL pregame show on CBS. When the Broncos rush for 100 yards or more, 19-1. In week 12, they couldn't stop C.J. Anderson. He scored the game-winning touchdown in overtime. I see him having a great game again. So it's everyone against me in the AFC. Everyone has New England. I have Denver. So now we'll move on to the NFC title game. Carolina and Arizona. Now, last week, both teams struggled. Big time. The Panthers gave up a 31-point lead. And the Cardinals gave up 13 consecutive points. And then a Hail Mary. How did both teams come back from last week? How do they improve?
Honestly, I feel like the Cardinals have to be a little concerned, definitely more concerned than the Panthers, because Carson Palmer looked like the moment was getting too big for him going down the stretch of the game. He had some bad interceptions, and even on that last drive, he had a terrible, terrible throw that just sailed on him. What do the rest of you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I feel Arizona will have to be much more concerned than Carolina. While Carolina performed poorly in the second half, they got off to one of the best starts I've ever seen. They got to a 31-0 lead. It does kind of feel like they're going to come with less momentum after giving up 24 points and not scoring since the first half. But I think they understand how well they performed in the first half, and they kind of were just laid back in the second half. They have a very good running game with Jonathan Stewart and Cam Newton, and then Newton as their quarterback. And then the Cardinals, that they gave up that second Hail Mary to Aaron Rodgers, is ridiculous. I don't know how that happened, how they let that happen. And as Josh mentioned, Carson Palmer really did not look too good on Saturday. He had so many throws that could have been interceptions, and some of them were interceptions, and they could have proven more costly than they already were. So in frigid conditions today, it's not something that Arizona is used to, since they play at a dome and where it is mostly warm all year in Arizona. They're coming into Carolina. They're going to be playing in really cold weather, and they have a quarterback who I understand had a spectacular season, but he's coming off a game last week that I'd be concerned about.
Okay, well, I'm watching the CBS pregame show as well, and they just said that it's 45 degrees in Charlotte, North Carolina, so that should be a bit of a break for the Cardinals, but I do agree with you. That weather is definitely going to play a part. They play in possibly the warmest state outside of Hawaii in America and aren't used to playing games that takes them across the country as like they're going to have to today. And before the show, we were talking, and Eric said that the Cardinals just traveled yesterday. So jet lag and the time difference is going to be an issue, even though they are playing in the late game.
And this is going to be a big thing that is a bit of a relief weather-wise, because it's been a couple of years since Carson Palmer played in Cincinnati. He's been in Oakland, now in Arizona. So you can't, after a 3-4 year absence or longer, reacclimate yourself all of a sudden to cold weather in just 1 week. And going back to the performances last week, it's a lot easier to keep your foot on the gas than it is to put your foot on the gas. And what I mean by is this: Carolina, once they got off to a 31-0 lead, pick six, another pick six, getting into Russell Wilson's face, making every throw, every run, it's easy to back off. And you have to have that level of attack. With Arizona in the first half, there was just nothing. No real running game, conservative, tight play calling, Palmer's throws and his interceptions, and it wasn't until the third quarter and really overtime before we saw the Arizona that we're used to seeing all season. And you have a lot more negatives to look at in the first half than positives, so you have to wonder, can they, in these conditions, get going early like Carolina did? Because if Carolina gets out to another 2-3 touchdown lead, I don't think Arizona is going to be as competitive as Seattle was in the second half.
So my key factor for Arizona is to avoid mistakes. That's it. Carson Palmer threw 2 interceptions last week against the Packers. So the Panthers, finish strong. What are your key factors for each team?
Arizona, it's really the consistency of Carson Palmer. Like we said, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL this season, and we've known for years that he can bring it when he's feeling it and comfortable, but he has big game jitters. I mean, this is a guy who was drafted back in, 2002, and he just got his first career playoff win. That says something about his consistency. And for Carolina, it's just really if they can keep their intensity up all game, because Arizona is a team that can get back into the game instantly because of their passing attack.
For Arizona, as Steven mentioned, it's avoiding mistakes, playing a pretty clean game, because Carolina is one of those teams that when you make a mistake, they're going to convert on it. You saw that last week. And Arizona also needs to get a running game going. They're in freezing. They're in cold conditions. They're in bad weather, one they're not used to. Get David Johnson going and utilize Larry Fitzgerald. And for the Panthers, it's just keep on doing what they're doing. Keep up the intensity. Do not let up in the third quarter if they're up big, because Arizona can strike back quickly too. They have a high-powered offense. So they need to keep it going till the end and just keep doing what they're doing, because clearly it's working.
For me, with Arizona, part of the key is not making mistakes, but for my key factor, don't play tight. Get a running game going with David Johnson, as Dylan said, but also try some early risks. Get receivers like Floyd and Brown into the game early alongside Fitzgerald, because that's going to be my key matchup. Fitzgerald versus Josh Norman, and to see if they're going to float Josh Norman in other parts of coverage on defense. So kind of be loose. Yes, there's a lot on the line, but nothing to hang your head on even if you lose. And for Carolina, don't let the swagger get to you. We've seen games against the Giants, against the Seahawks. You have a big lead, but then you just sort of back off, and all of a sudden, teams that you really thought had no chance are making it a game again. So you can just keep that control, don't start celebrating too early if you do get off to a fast start. Finish the game. Don't let things change. Don't back off. We'll contain the swagger before all of a sudden you're talking about an upset.
And again, we'll start with Dylan. Who's your NFC champion and why?
I'm taking the Carolina Panthers. They're at home. They've been riding high from all season. They have the quarterback in Cam Newton who can do it all. They have a strong running game with Jonathan Stewart. I think they get it done. I'm a little worried about Carson Palmer after his performance last week. I think Carolina keeps it going at home. I think they win this game by a score of 27-17. I think it'll be close, but at the end they're going to pull it out and they'll be the NFC champion.
Well, for me, just like I was burned picking against New England, I was burned picking against Carolina. I think my NFC champion, Carolina Panthers, setting up a rematch of Super Bowl 38, if I remember correctly. I think Cam Newton is too versatile. They're riding too high right now. Yes, both teams are playing with house money, but Carolina's going to have that home cooking going. I see the Panthers taking this one 30-20.
Honestly, Cam Newton has been the best player in football. I mean, he continues to do incredible things with Ted Ginn Jr. being his best wide receiver. There's no doubt in my mind that Carolina wins. They play the most impressive half of football we've seen this season when they just punched the Seahawks right in the mouth. I think they win by 2 touchdowns.
Wow. So our co-host, Stephanie Diaz, who cannot be with us today, we are all picking before I do that, I'm picking Carolina as well. I said this before. Carolina's overrated. They've lost leads in about at least big leads, 5 games this season against the Colts, the Giants. They did it against Seattle. But there's one thing that Carolina does, and that's find way to win games. So I have Carolina winning this game, headed to Super Bowl 50. Stephanie Diaz, she's picking Arizona in this one. Now we have 3 minutes left. Last question, we're gonna get out of here. Which game are you guys more excited for?
I'm more excited for the Cardinals-Panthers game because both offenses are so high-powered. It's going to be a fun game to watch. I'm not as excited about Denver-New England because Peyton Manning really doesn't excite me anymore, and I think New England's going to have an easier time winning. I'm more excited about Arizona-Carolina because both quarterbacks have played incredible this year, and they both have very great offenses and defenses, so it'll definitely be a matchup of the two best later on.
While Denver, New England is exciting, we've seen this before. We've seen this matchup. I'm personally more excited with Arizona and Carolina. Weather's going to be a bigger factor. Who's going to make the bigger tweaks? This is only the, 7th time that first-round quarterbacks have made the playoffs. First game in NFL history. In the playoffs where you've had both quarterbacks as Heisman Trophy winners, this is going to be something of the new guard. And I like to see something more of the new of the older generation of quarterbacks. This game is likely to just be an instant classic.
For me, it's got to be the AFC Championship game. Part of this is just the narrative. Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are quarterbacks who the Steelers have battled with time and time again. I'm probably going to bore my grandkids talking about watching these two and ridiculous games they had, and this is just the final chapter of a great AFC rivalry.
I, too, am excited for the NFC Championship game. We've seen Brady Manning before. This is new. Panthers-Cardinals, one team's gone to the Super Bowl for the second time in franchise history. This is all new to us. So that's going to do it for the NFL pregame show and the Championship Day edition. Alongside Dylan Goldman, Josh Lurie, Eric Watkins, I'm Stephen Irk. Enjoy the games. We'll be back for Super Bowl 50.